Beautiful poinsettias here. They point us toward Christmas. A week ago in the city park, we had that light up Pulaski ceremony, which speaks of Christmas to our community. And I would say that the event had a bit of a somber tone. I'd not really participated with that before. I didn't know what to expect. I thought if they were going to give me a free hot dog, that probably was going to be a good thing. And I went and they sang songs, gospel songs, songs that pointed people toward Christ. And people were able to share on behalf of loved ones, give some memorial gifts, and so on. I believe that more than 600 separate memorials were really attached there at the Christmas tree, the memory tree that was there in the park. And I thought, yes, I have had some wonderful Christmases. I've had some great times of remembrance of family, of friends, and so forth. And yet, I find myself relatively unimpressed with a lot of the trappings that surround Christmas, because I feel as if I don't quite often enough see the face of Jesus during the Christmas season. I do sense that Christmas in many places has lost its meaning. Many people, I would say, probably could grow up in our culture and never truly understand that Christmas is not just a time of loving sentiment in terms of the world, but that Christmas represents transcendence. It represents the intervention of God here in coming to this desperate humanity. And I find myself at this point in my life more and more amazed by the largeness of God, more and more amazed at what God has done through Christ and what he has made possible for us. And so I'm going to be sharing today scripture that probably would not seem to you to be connected with Christmas, but it sort of is. All things that are Christian are connected with Christmas. But I had been thinking about the Santa Claus legend, how it is that Santa Claus, in that legend, departed his home at the North Pole, and he carried toys for all of the world's children on a single sleigh pulled by 8 reindeer, one of whom is now named Rudolph. And how it is that on a single night, he, in this legend, managed to circumnavigate the globe while noiselessly sneaking into millions of homes by way of the chimney and positing all these gifts underneath the proper Christmas trees. And so that prompted some thoughts that I'm going to share here over the next few minutes from Psalm 139, beginning with the first verse. A Psalm of David, and it's a probing song. A psalm, really, in many ways. O Lord, you have searched me, and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you know it completely, O Lord. You hem me in behind and before. You have laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me, and the light become night around me, even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day, for darkness is as light to you. And so, with that thought of Santa circumnavigating the globe, I'd just like to share with you some thoughts about God. God is everywhere at once. He has no need to travel. There's no need for him to circumnavigate the globe, no need for him to travel from one place to another, because the presence of God fills all of creation. There is not any place that God is not. I have found myself at times experiencing powerfully the presence of God. But the older I have gotten again, the more I have recognized that God is not somewhere else where we have to somehow call for him to come to be with us. God, after all, is already everywhere. God is in your home. He's there right now. You might think, well, no one is at home. I would have this thought for you. You can't ever truly say no one is at home because God is in your house. He is there right now. He's watching over things, which might be a very good thing. I'm thinking someone may have put a roast in the oven. Someone may have left on. Oh, I can't say this because someone out here is going to be obsessive and compulsive. Do we have any, like, of you that would be able to confess that you are a little bit OCD? You're that one that when you leave home, you find yourself, once you've gotten 100 miles away, wondering if you truly shut the stove off. God is there. God is watching over it. God is taking care of that. God is forever. He isn't going to die, to retire, or even to take a well-deserved vacation. I mentioned to someone the other day that the last few years I was in Grant, I was pretty sure that people had gotten the idea that I was always going to be there. And I would actually hear people saying that. Now, I understand that. When you hear the same guy preach for 28 years, probably that thought is there somewhere in your mind. But I had so many people who expressed to me, we knew that pastors came and went, but we thought that you were different. That you were not going to come and go, that you were never going to leave and so on. We had a lot of people there that I was the only pastor they'd ever known, and they were rather shocked when I was going to be coming out here to Central New York. I found myself thinking about that and thinking, I am so grateful and so glad that God doesn't go. He's not going to be replaced by another God who might have a different set of policies. He's not going to be replaced by another God who might not love us in quite the same way. Not going to be replaced by a God who might look at the promises that he has made and tear them up and say, that was that administration. We now have a new administration, and we have different thoughts and different priorities. God is here right now. His presence is here. We acknowledge his presence. I'm able to feel his presence. I'm able to sense his presence. Scott Forcione, Scott, you're here. Just wave your hand. That would be Scott if you don't know Scott. Scott does our maintenance work here around the facilities, and I want to say he does a fabulous job with that. And that's right. You thank him for that. Scott has mentioned to me a number of times that one of the great things about the fact that he is able to do that is that he can be here when it's totally quiet, when he's here all by himself, and that he always is able to feel right here the presence of God. God is here. He's not just here on Sunday mornings when we walk through the door. God is imminent. That would be the word theologically. He is imminent. He just is everywhere. God's never going to abandon you. Some of you have, at some point in your life, been abandoned. I've talked with people who have had painful experiences. Husbands whose wives abandoned them, wives whose husbands abandoned them, children whose parents abandoned them, and oftentimes that wound just never totally goes away. But God has said in his word, I will never leave you nor forsake you. There is nothing that will separate you from the love of God. God is not going to always give you what you want. but he will always give you what you need. I have thought over the years about the times in my life when I went to God in prayer, and I offered a prayer, and I had great faith, and I expected God to do a particular thing, and he chose to do something utterly and completely different. There were times, as a new Christian, that I was rather confused by that. I thought, wow, I thought God was supposed to do what I wanted. I hadn't quite figured out that I was supposed to do what God wanted. That it was more a matter of me finding his will and walking in his will and finding joy in his will and in his hand and in his guidance than trying to come up with a plan of my own life, because what I have found throughout the course of my life is that every single time that God did things in a different way than what I had imagined would be best, God was right. God blessed me. God brought something out of nothing in every circumstance. And God is the person who decided to give you the best gift that you could ever receive, his son Jesus. I think that after a while, if we're not careful, that message, because of its familiarity, can begin to lose a little bit of its power to shock us, to really cause us to have a sense of amazement and a sense of awe. In the same way that a husband can begin to take a wife for granted, or a wife or husband, we can begin to take God just a little bit for granted. We can just know that he is there and find comfort in that. And once in a while, God, I guess, chooses to remind us of just what a special privilege it is in our lives that we have this salvation, this Jesus Christ. All these things mean, first of all, that you never have to wait for God to arrive. I had a cousin years ago that was going through a lot of difficulties in his life, and I guess he still is going through a lot of difficulties in his life. His main difficulty is he has never truly received Jesus Christ. And he was just having a lot of temptations, and he had some addictions and so on, and I was talking with him about that, and I was going to have prayer with him that God would deliver him from a particular thing. And his word to me was, it was about March of the year, he said, well, I'm just going to wait until camp meeting. Why? Why would a person ever wait? God is already here. He didn't need to wait for God to arrive. When I pray, I guess, again, sometimes I've had that thought, oh God, you really need to show up. But again, God is already here. I don't have to wait for him to arrive. You don't have to wait for him to arrive if you have a physical thing going on in your life. You don't have to wait for him to arrive if you have a spiritual thing going on in your life. If you have pain emotionally in your life, you just don't have to wait for God to arrive. You simply need to open your eyes and open your spirit and recognize that God is already there. All these things mean that you can build your life around certainties. This world is full of uncertainties. We sometimes get shocked by the uncertainties that we have. I had a friend, he's still a friend, back in Michigan. He was a character, I guess you might say. He did a lot of dirt bike racing, and his sons did a lot of dirt bike racing. He was an excellent mechanic, and he did all of the mechanical work at one of the large hospitals in Grand Rapids, Michigan. He went in one day, and he was doing what he thought was routine maintenance. They had an electrical problem, and he took off the cover there where you have all of those breakers and all of those circuits and so on. And when he reached in with his screwdriver, there was a slight arc of electricity, and he learned something that he had not known. He learned that when there is a bad breaker in an electrical box, that you can have a buildup of ozone within the box, and it exploded. He had third-degree burns over about 70% of his body. Thought at first that he probably would not survive. He was in the hospital for about 3 months in the burn unit and so on, and I want to say first, that he has not one scar on his body. I never saw anything like it. God reached in and he touched him. But he went through a period of difficulty because I would see him sometimes walking down the road where he lived, just walking back and forth, and I'd never seen that before. And I guess, really, I haven't seen it since. I saw that he was all the time pondering, and I stopped in, and I talked with him on a couple of occasions, and I couldn't quite figure out what was going on within him. And then one day, when he was talking about how his life had utterly and completely changed and would never be the same again, and how I would never understand, I made a comment to him. I said, I may understand more than you think I would understand. Well, how so? I said, you're struggling with post-traumatic stress syndrome. Well, that is what the doctor told me. I said, you see, what happened is all of those years, every morning when you got out of bed, you put on your Superman shirt. That was your way of dealing with the uncertainties of life. You simply persuaded yourself that nothing bad could ever happen, nothing bad would ever reach your heart, nothing bad would ever reach your soul. And when this happened, your faith and your confidence was shaken because the world that you thought you had under your control, you found was not under your control at all. I remember very well, he looked at me and he tilted his head and he said, I think you're absolutely crazy. And then I remember about 3 weeks later, I stopped by again, and he said, I finally took your advice, and I went to a professional counselor. And do you know what he told me? No, I have no idea. He told me exactly what you did. And so it must be true. And I find myself, you know, just now wanting to encourage you that the only certainty you will ever have in this life is God. You can play mental games with yourself, and you can talk about how you have built up this incredible faith within yourself, and you know that a certain thing is going to happen because you believe it so very deeply. And I would just tell you, the only thing that you know that you will have tomorrow is God. If America could just understand that now, there are so many frightened people. People are scared all over. I've heard so many comments from people about how they wouldn't get on a plane right now, and believe me, I do understand that. I had that thought when I found out that my younger son and his wife had flown down to Mexico this past week. I thought, wow, I'm not sure that this would be the best time to be traveling, and so on, but I suppose that if I ever get on the phone with that rascal and ask him why he went, that he probably is going to say something along this line, well, Dad, I ain't scared. Because he understands that the only certainty that we have in life, again, is God. And that is a source of great comfort. It means that you can experience God all of the time. That there is no need to ever feel as if you are not experiencing God. Now, I know that there are days and there are moments when you feel that you're not. There are days, if you're a builder, there are days that you hit your thumb with the hammer over and over again. There are days when everything seems to go wrong. How many of you ever have those days? Days that it just seems as if you can't line things up and you can't get them in order and you can't get ahead of the curve. And all of those things are going on and it feels so very, very, very chaotic. And I know what chaotic moments are. And yet, in the midst of all of that, because God is always here, I'm able to open my heart to God in that moment. I'm able to pray, and I am able, no matter what is going on around me, to settle into God and just to experience his love and his protection and his concern and again his joy. And all of these things mean that you will always be loved by God. I think one of the greatest needs that we have as human beings is simply to know that we are loved. And I've given a good deal of thought to the fact that there are many, many people in our world today that do not have a sense of being loved by anyone. They didn't experience, at least in a way that they could feel and have confidence in, the love of their parents. And they have not felt the love of their fellow man. We're living in a time that is sort of an unloving time, living in a time when we act as if, in our society at large, as if it's actually a good thing not to care about other people, because after all, that just gets in the way of natural selection. All of these things, though, mean that God's love is always with me and always will be. And all those things mean that you can completely trust God, even when things are very, very tough. And all these things mean that you can spend eternity in heaven with God. I am rather looking forward to that. Some days I feel as if it's a long, long ways away. Some days I feel as if it might be rather soon. That is a subjective feeling that I have. But I know as an absolute fact that I am going to spend eternity in heaven with God. Now, I mentioned here a few weeks ago, I'm pretty sure I said this, you may have heard it, you may not have, depends on if you're here every week or if you missed that particular week. I know that I mentioned that I have had people who have come to me who have said that it's rather arrogant on my part to believe that there is a certainty that I'm going to spend eternity in heaven with God. To which my answer is, well, God isn't going to change his mind, and I'm not going to change mine. And because God is not going to change his mind, and because I am not going to change mine, I know that it is there for me. I'm already living with eternal life. Eternal life isn't something I am going to receive. Eternal life is something I already have. What a powerful truth that is in your life when you fully and wholly embrace that. And I'm just wondering then, have you received the gift of God? And have you begun to experience Jesus? Because I would suggest there's a great difference between knowing about Jesus and knowing him. Between knowing that there are people who experience God and seeing other people experience God and truly experiencing him yourself. God is here. He is here now. And however close your relationship with him may be, there's the possibility that you can experience God in an even closer way than you ever have before. No matter how much power you have seen displayed by God, there is the possibility that God will choose to show his power in your life in a greater way than he ever has before. And wouldn't that be a wonderful thing? I'm not sure what Linda's gotten me for Christmas or if she has, but I know this, no matter what it is, and no matter how appreciative I may be, the gift that God gave me through his son, Jesus Christ, surpasses anything that anyone would ever give me. The only thing that anyone ever gave me that compared to the gift of receiving Jesus Christ was giving me the possibility of receiving that gift by sharing Christ's love with me. Because it was when his love was shared with me by people that loved God already that the door was able to be opened in my heart so that I could experience God. What a wonderful gift that would be if you gave that to someone else. And so I would just challenge you to do that today. I'd like you to stand with me. Heavenly Father, thank you for you. Thank you for your gift. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you for forgiveness. Thank you for salvation. And thank you, Lord, that I can absolutely count on you. And thank you, Lord, that you will never leave me or forsake me. And Lord, the person who is here today, and I would not know who that would be, that would feel furthest away from you, I just ask that they would recognize right now that you are not far away, that you are right here. That the person who would feel most overwhelmed by what life is throwing at them right now would have a peace that would come into their spirit, come into their soul, because of the knowledge that you are here and you are loving and you care and you can be trusted. I just ask that you would fill our heart with all love and joy and peace. Fill our hearts, Lord, with understanding, spiritual understanding, and fill our hearts with a great determination to be used by you and be a servant of yours. Thank you, Lord, for all of these things in your name. Amen.